There's another report out that the suspect was involved in organized crime. Killing occurred at the busiest border crossing between San Diego and Mexico's Tijuana. You're listening to Air America Radio News on the Air America Radio Network. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Brakes squeal? Don't take a chance on safety. Drive over to a Strauss Discount Service Center, where our certified technicians will check your brake system for free. Strauss Discount Auto. We keep you driving.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74, and this is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residence. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and receive a smoke detector with free 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
If you're a diabetic, you'll want to listen to this message from the Diabetes Line. If you call us today, you may be able to get your testing supplies delivered right to your door with no out-of-pocket costs. We have all the supplies you'll ever need, and getting those diabetic testing supplies delivered right to your door is as easy as calling this number. 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254. If you have Medicare or private insurance, you might be able to get those diabetic testing supplies delivered right to your home with no out-of-pocket cost. We even file all the claim forms so you never have to wait for those reimbursement checks. If you're a diabetic and you want testing supplies delivered right to your door, call the Diabetes Line 24 hours a day. 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And happy Friday, TGIF, Shabbat Shalom. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations all across the nation, literally from coast to coast, on Sirius Satellite Radio, on XM on the weekends, we're all over the place. We're broadcasting from AirAmericaRadio.com, WhiteRoseSociety.org, RadioPower.org, and, of course, on CRN Digital, on cable TV systems in 29 states, of all things. Bernie Sanders is typically with us in this first hour of the program on Fridays. He has a commitment, shall we say. Actually, it's a number of things that have come up for Bernie involving boats and so and a change in airplane schedules and whatnot that got him at the last minute. So we just learned about this a few minutes ago, that Bernie's not going to be able to be with us today. But I still want to recommend that you check out his website, Bernie.org, Congressman Bernie Sanders' website. And we're being Friday, at least for the, particularly for this first hour. In the second hour, we're going to start out with Robert Garmong. He's going to come on and tell us why mergers are just a fine thing. And it should be an interesting discussion. Yeah, but for the for this first hour, there's some stuff that I'd like to talk about with regard to immigration, because this is the issue that's being gogged and demagogued all over the place right now. And then after the first break here, I'm just going to throw the phone lines open. And, you know, it's typically on Friday people call in from all over the country with questions for Bernie, comments, thoughts, whatever's on your mind. We can talk about any topic you'd like and just, you know, have the conversation. Yesterday, of course, we were talking about the question people should be asking with regard to 9/11, and that is, you know, what did Bush know and when did he know it? And I just, that needs to be said over and over and over again. David Gregory yesterday, the NBC News reporter, asking George Bush, why do you think that 70% of the American public disapprove of the job you're doing? And he said, because they're unsettled. We're just unsettled. Which raises the question in my mind, what's he going to do to settle us? Here's the clip.
Let me ask you about your leadership. In the most recent survey, your disapproval rating is now 1 point lower than Richard Nixon's before he resigned the presidency. You're laughing, but why?
I'm laughing.
Why do you think that is?
Because we're at war, and war unsettles people. We got, listen, we got a great economy. We've had 5.2 million jobs in the last 2.5 years. But people are unsettled.
But they're not just unsettled, sir. They disapprove of the job you're doing.
That's unsettled.
That's unsettled. Yeah. Okay. So, point one, George Bush disconnected from reality once again. Point two, there's this just, you know, in the list of things that I think are just, you know, so very strange out there. Bill O'Reilly at it in a very weird fashion. Dave Fondmeyer is the University of Oregon president and a former gubernatorial candidate, a fairly well-known guy here in Oregon, although I'm relatively new to the state. I may be mispronouncing his name, but in any case, Bill O'Reilly going after him. Okay, he says he's a coward and he needs to get out. Why? Well, let's back up just a little bit. You will recall a year or so ago, well, last year, actually. I don't remember exactly what month this all happened, but last year, there was a cartoon that was published in a Danish newspaper of Mohammed wearing a turban which had a bomb in it. And the Islamic world, the Muslim world, went nuts. And there were protests, and people died, and, you know, and folks like Bill O'Reilly were saying, and you know, one of the few times that I was agreeing with him, get over it. You know, it's so somebody made fun of your prophet. I mean, if you really believe that he's your prophet, if you really believe your religion, then you just look at us and say, oh, those poor misguided people, and get on with it. You know, isn't the core teaching of most religions tolerance and peace? And, you know, live and let live. So now there's this student publication at the University of Oregon. This is not the official publication. This is a student publication. And, well, this newshounds.us, the We Watch Fox, You Don't Have To site. Tonight, Dave Fondmeyer, University of Oregon president, got the O'Reilly kiss of death because a school publication printed some controversial drawings of Jesus. And Fondmeyer's reaction, in O'Reilly's opinion, was inadequate, claiming that the publication, The Insurgent, hates Christianity. O'Reilly said the University of Oregon has done nothing, and Fondmeyer is too afraid to appear on The Factor. So he invited two students from the university on, and of course they were the ones protesting. They're saying, oh, how dare they print these pictures? It was a cartoon of Jesus kissing another man. And the story gets even more weird. The university actually hadn't distributed that that issue of the paper. They were withholding it because they said there was a problem with the postage, and the publishers, the kids who published the paper, were saying we're being censored. So the university was actually trying to stop this thing from getting out there, but O'Reilly goes out and demagogues it anyway. And and the same thing with the Da Vinci Code. And the Da Vinci Code opened in theaters all over the United States last night. Today, you know, was the premiere. Today, it's the first official day of release. And it's a thriller. And they tried to dissuade people from seeing it. They were saying, oh, don't go see that movie. It's terrible. You know, we should ban it. The Philippines, ban it. Oh, terrible. And that didn't work. And so then what they did was they gave away the ending. I mean, look at how we protect the endings of movies. I don't think most people who haven't seen Brokeback Mountain, for example, know how it ends. It actually has a surprise ending. Most people, I mean, even the Titanic, if you haven't seen the movie. Yes, the Titanic went down, but what about the people in the movie? I mean, you get really involved in the lives of these characters. Were they among those who lived or among those who died? What happened to them? If somebody told you how the movie ended before you went to see it, then the whole movie would be rather boring, wouldn't it? Because you already know how it's going to end. And a thriller is all about, how's this going to end? How's he going to get out of this one? How's he going to get out of that? Where is this leading to? What's going on here? If you already know the end. So about a week and a half ago, I think it was, I noticed the first time on network news they gave away the ending of the movie, of the Da Vinci Code. And, you know, saying that, in the end of the movie you discover that it's all about covering up the secret that Jesus survived the crucifixion. And it's like, okay, and then people go to see the movie and they go, well, this is kind of boring. I haven't seen the movie yet. I intend to do it this weekend, so I'll give you a report on that. But it just seems like this is just, you know, trying to take this thing down. And finally, this back to immigration. This was really and truly weird. Tom Ridge was being interviewed by Chris Matthews on Wednesday of this week on Hardball on May 17th. And he says, they're talking about illegal immigrants. And he says, I think most people would probably say there are neighbors now. They live here, c'est la vie. But I think most people are concerned about one thing. After all the papers are signed, after all the Republicans get together and clap hands and have a big signing ceremony, everybody passes pens around. After all that's over with, we still have 12 million people here illegally. And they'll still be coming across the fence every night. We put a camera down there and nothing will have happened. Except some people will be coming in with paper. The people who can't get the paper will be coming in some other way. And Ridge says, in response, if your enforcement is strong enough and the tools are given to the people to enforce the law, and if the process of legitimizing their presence here, not necessarily to become citizens, say what? But give them, in a global economy, the opportunity to just come back and forth, say what? This is Tom Ridge speaking, you know, Bush administration, Tom Ridge, former head of the Department of Homeland Security. He says, I think this notion that everybody that comes into this country wants to be an American citizen, that's just a little over the top. He says, I've been down to those detention cells, seen some of these young men and women down there. They'd like to come here and work and go back and forth across that border as Mexican citizens. So is this the next step in the Republican plan to keep wages at a historic low in the United States and do away with the middle class? Let's just say to 100 million Mexicans, you can come here and work anytime you want and go back to Mexico. And you come here and work for, say, 6 months and earn $6, $8, $10 an hour, which is, you know, an enormous amount of money in Mexico, where wages are $1, $2 an hour, and there's half of the country living on $2 a day. Literally, half the country, $2 a day. They can come here and work. And so you come here and you work for 6 months. You get enough money, you can go back home and live for a couple of years. And then come back here and work another 6 months. And there's enough folks that they'll continuously be doing that. And here's Tom Ridge advocating this. And what boggled my mind was that Chris Matthews didn't call him on it. He just, well, okay, cool. You know, just kind of slid right on by. So your thoughts on that and pretty much anything else you want to talk about. It's our telephone number, 1-866, toll free across the United States, 866-440-8466. 1-866-440-8466. You can drop into our live chat room by going to TomHartmann.com. It's 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartmann Radio Program, exposing the con in conservative.
The This is Vilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
When corporations give money to the lawmakers who do legislative favors for them, some hotheads are quick to label such transactions as bribery. But that's such an ugly term. Members of Congress prefer to use a kinder and gentler phrase, constituent services. Take Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton, for example. She's recently been of tremendous service to the Corning Corporation, which is a bit odd since Corning has always been a solidly Republican bastion. In recent years, however, the upstate New York manufacturing giant has put $137,000 into Hillary's campaign coffers, becoming her second largest donor. This political switch is not coincidental. It's business. Clinton, you see, has gone out of her way to become Corning's leading champion in Washington, using her substantial influence to do favors that give a big boost to the corporation's bottom line. In 2004, for example, the Chinese government imposed a tariff on Corning's fiber optic products, charging the company with illegally undercutting the prices of Chinese firms. Corning ran to Hillary for protection, and she promptly launched a personal push. She upbraided China's top trade official, summoned the Chinese ambassador to her office, and even collared George W. to get him personally involved, finally compelling the Chinese to drop the tariff. 1 month after she began providing this service, Corning's chairman held a fundraiser in his home, quietly sacking up $46,000 for Hillary's re-election campaign. When you are down and somebody gives you a hand, explained Corning's top lobbyist, you have to remember that. This is Jim Hightower saying, they can call such scratch-my-backism constituent services, but again and again in Washington, it's the backs of big corporate donors that get scratched by both parties. This is why we need public financing of elections, thus eliminating the need to do favors in exchange for corporate campaign money.
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder. Millions of jobs are being exported. And now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout. America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired. The way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartmann.
I'm an independent trucker. A mother loving, overloaded owner operator, just tearing up the kitty main road. Yeah.
Indeed, the backbone of America. Welcome back. 21 minutes, our independent truckers. Welcome back. Our 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartmann here with you, the place where smart people get their news. Just another quick note here before I go to your calls. I got an email from a listener that just going through the liberal talking points on illegal immigration. And it starts out by saying, I agree with you 100% on how we stop immigration. Punish employers. But when you talk about what to do with people who are here, you lose me, says this writer. Here are some of the things you said. Number one, quoting me, there are 12 million unemployed people and roughly 12 million illegal immigrants. If the illegal immigrants leave, we have no more unemployment. That's quoting me. And then this person says, I was shocked to hear you say that. I assume you don't really believe that. Well, actually, yeah. There are 12 million unemployed people in the United States. If you include discouraged workers, the people who are no longer being counted, if you calculate unemployment in the United States the same way it's calculated in most European countries, we have about a 10% unemployment rate. And that's people who are actually capable of working and want to work. That doesn't include, you know, people who are mentally ill or homeless or, you know, whatever. This is people who are capable of working and want to work, about 10%. And we have a workforce of about 120 million people. 10% of 120 million people is 12 million people who want work. And this listener says, you must be aware of the fact that many of your listeners accept things you say at face value and will be spreading that nonsense. Well, it's not nonsense. Number two, compassion frame. I invite you to visit Chicago, and I will personally introduce you to the so-called frame. I will be happy to introduce you to people like the 17-year-old girl who was brought here by her parents when she was 10. She speaks better English than Spanish. She has American friends and considers herself American. She has very little memory of her life in Mexico and doesn't identify with Mexicans as much as she does with Americans. I invite you and challenge you to tell her to her face that she is just a frame and tell her that she should be denied work and therefore forced to move to Mexico. Okay. First of all, I'm not saying that she should be forced to. I'm saying that if her parents are here illegally, and they brought her here with them illegally, and they can no longer find work because it's illegal to hire somebody who is here illegally, they will want to go back to Mexico or wherever they came from, and in all probability, she will go with them. My producer, David, and I tell you this story with his permission. David and I discussed this. My producer, David, his sister was busted recently for meth, for, you know, being involved with meth, and her husband's in prison. What's going to happen to the kid? Should we say, well, you know, there's a child involved here, let's not send people to jail because there's a child? We're not going to hold up people accountable for crimes because there's a child involved. I mean, that's essentially what's being said, and I'm sorry, I just, you know, I don't buy it. And in terms of, you know, is it going to do some kind of terrible damage to this little girl to take her back to Mexico? I took my kids to Germany for a year. They learned another culture. It was a very useful thing for them. Granted, the circumstances are different. I'm not saying that it would be like, oh, gee, we're going to go live for a year someplace else and then come back. But it's just, yes, there are human beings involved in this. Yes, they are caught up in this. Yes, some of them are kids. And is it my problem or my country's problem that their parents decided to break the law? No. Number three, they should go back and fix their own country. That's quoting me. And the person says, imagine telling Albert Einstein to go back and fix his own country. Well, you know, why did your ancestors come here, Tom? Why didn't they stay back and fix their own country? Everybody here, with the exception of Native Americans, is a descendant of somebody who chose to move to the United States instead of fixing their own country. Well, I would suggest to you that had England in particular not had the escape valve of using the United States as a penal colony, Georgia, the state of Georgia was a penal colony, and having people migrate all over the world, ultimately they had to start using Australia as a penal colony, that the American Revolution probably would have been the British Revolution. As to Albert Einstein, as to saying to a Jew fleeing Germany to fix their own country, no, I would never say that. What I would say is the United States should go in and kick Hitler's butt, as we did. And if Vincente Fox was running his country the way Adolf Hitler ran Germany, I would be suggesting that we should be intervening in the affairs of Mexico. But he's not. And Mexico actually has elections, and to the extent that is, you can call it that, is a democracy. And I think that people should. So number four, look how Mexico treats immigrants. That's what I said. Because Mexico, if you try to immigrate into Mexico illegally, they will arrest you and throw your butt in jail. It's a felony. And or deport you, period. They do not tolerate undocumented workers in Mexico. They do not. So this person says, look how China, Cuba, Korea, or half the countries out there treat their immigrants. Well, you know, I'd say in response to that, look how France, Germany, and England treat their immigrants. You try to get on a plane and go to France and say, I want to get a job, you'll find your butt back here in the United States so fast you never knew what hit you. or any other developed country in the world, or for that matter, any other country in the world. Number five, they send millions of dollars back to Mexico. This is quoting me. And he says, so do first-generation immigrants from all countries, not just Mexico. The second generation has far less ties and mostly doesn't send... No, that's not the point. It's got nothing to do with that. My point is that money represents about 10% of Mexico's GDP, is people here illegally sending money home. And that's helping prop up their economy. And again, do we want our standard of living degraded to prop up the economy of Mexico? I don't. I don't want to see my labor unions eviscerated. I don't want to see worker protections wiped out. And I certainly don't want to see what Tom Ridge is proposing, which is a permanent situation where anybody in Mexico can come here and work. 27 minutes past the hour.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Did you know that some ants actually prefer living in your home? That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. It stops ants cold on the outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, right down to the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
If your sinus congestion comes with pain, it's time to clear something up about sinus medicine. Some sinus medicines treat congestion, but not pain. New Tylenol Sinus is different. It gives more complete relief by combining the pure pain relief of Tylenol with powerful sinus medicine. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Sinus. Take only as directed.
Why do I like working for Verizon Wireless? Well, my job is turning ideas into reality. All those new features like video on your cell phone that you show your friends, that's my team bringing them to you. So what's not to like? But the best part is that here, it's not just a job, it's a career. With great training and tuition reimbursement, Verizon Wireless and I grow together. I'm Brian Williams, Technology Development Engineer. Our people, our network, Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you.
Your picture-perfect lawn, suddenly destroyed by two types of insects. No matter. Backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created Complete Insect Killer, the only product that combines two chemistries to eliminate insects above ground, plus below ground for up to 3 months. Guaranteed. Time to kick back and relax? Not if you're a damaging pest. Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer. Better science, better results.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell. The immigration debate continues to blaze, with a new fire igniting between President George W. Bush and Wisconsin Representative F. James Sensenbrenner. The Republican congressman has come under fire from immigration rights groups for drafting a bill that would classify illegal immigrants as felons. Sensenbrenner criticized the president on Wednesday, saying it was the White House that requested the two controversial felony provisions in the immigration bill. But Sensenbrenner says it now appears that the president is turning his back on the bill. Sensenbrenner said that Bush's call for allowing many of the 12 million illegal immigrants in this country eventually become citizens is really just amnesty for individuals who have broken the law.
Mesaba Airlines has failed in an effort to destroy its union contracts in court. Bankruptcy Judge Gregory Kishel Thursday rejected the move by the airline. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, says its members will continue to fight for a fair and equitable contract. Had those union contracts been thrown out, the airline would have faced a strike by some or all of its unions.
Steelworkers are prepared to strike if talks with Alcoa break down. The workers' contracts expired on May 31st, and negotiations are set to begin on Thursday. Union members at 15 plants authorized leadership to call a walkout against the world's biggest aluminum producer if contract negotiations break down. While both sides have expressed that they have an open dialogue and seen little chafing on most contract issues, health care and retiree benefits could cause some friction at the bargaining table.
Madison Gas and Electric, a public power utility in Wisconsin's capital, is out to destroy its workers' defined benefit pensions. Dave Poklin-Kusky of IBEW Local 2304 says this is a highly profitable power company with no financial justification for trying to take workers' pensions.
I think everybody needs to recognize that if workers working for a state-regulated monopoly with a well-funded defined benefit pension plan are not going to be able to retain a pension plan, then everybody's pension is at stake.
Polk Venkuski says that defined benefit pensions are much better for workers than 401ks, and his union, IBEW Local 2304, will never agree to end defined benefit pensions. Here's today's economic report. There were 367,000 new claims for unemployment benefits the week ending May 13th, the highest number since October of 2005. While more workers are needing to file for jobless benefits, inflation is also getting higher, putting even more pressure on family income. Things are harder for working families despite economic growth in the first quarter at an annual pace of 4.8%. Meanwhile, the number of new jobs added in April was 138,000, the lowest jobs growth since October. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
I ain't looking to compete with you, beat or cheat or mistreat you, simplify you, pacify you, deny, defy, or crucify you. All I really wanna do is maybe be friends with you.
976 days, 12 hours, 26 minutes, 6 seconds, 4 seconds, 2 seconds until George W. Bush voluntarily leaves office, assuming he's not impeached. Welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you. Just to wrap this up, I just want to say, number one, I do not support Sensenbrenner's bill. I don't think that criminalization of illegal immigrants on the one hand or criminalization of anybody who helps them is even sane. Number two, I don't support building a wall or a fence. We didn't need it before. We don't need it now. There is a giant magnet in this country that is drawing illegal aliens into this country, and that giant magnet is employers. And if you criminalize the employment of illegal aliens, then that magnet goes away. So in my opinion, both the and by the way, Sensenbrenner is now saying that it was Bush, George W. Bush, that it was the White House, Rove and Bush, who asked him to put the criminalization features into that House bill that they passed. Okay, so it's just and now Bush is saying, oh no, we shouldn't have that, and Sensenbrenner's feeling betrayed. It's amazing to watch the Republicans going around in circles on this, but it's also tragic to watch the Democrats go around in circles on this. I mean, historically, progressives have understood, and Democrats have understood. For that matter, progressive Republican Teddy Roosevelt understood. The price of labor is a function of the amount of labor available versus the number of jobs available. And when labor is tight, when the supply of labor is tight, the price of labor goes up. In other words, people get paid more. If people get paid more, you have a middle class emerges. If people get paid less, then the middle class becomes the working poor. It's just that simple. So it's all about borders. But there's really two kinds of borders. One is the border like we have with Mexico. And the other is the border like we have with all other countries in the world, and that's a legal border, a financial border, that historically we've protected with what we call tariffs, where we've said if there's a dollar, pay a 90-cent tax when you bring them in. So the labor is the border with the rest of the world, the trade border. And the Republicans are all talking about let's build a fence with Mexico, which is nuts. Criminalizing people is crazy. Building a fence is crazy. You know, I know it's a nice boondoggle for Bechtel and for Halliburton and the big defense contractors that Don Rumsfeld was a lobbyist for before he became the Secretary of Defense. But it's not going to work. It's crazy. This is such a common sense simple thing. Anybody who hires an illegal alien, on the one hand, goes to jail or they lose their business. And number two, if you're gonna manufacture products overseas rather than using American labor to manufacture those products, then when you import those products, there will be a tax called an import tariff, which is how this country did it from the time it was founded until about 30 years ago. There will be a tax on that imported product that increases the cost of that product up to what it would cost if it was made in the United States. And then if you did those two things, in other words, if you reinstituted the legal, these are both legal borders. You don't need physical borders if you have the legal borders in place. If employers don't hire people who are here illegally, by and large, that, you know, some will stay, of course, but, you know, then it's just, you know, okay, how do we deal with that as a society in a reasonable, just, and humane way? And you figure out how to do it. But the vast majority of people are going to say, hey, I can't find work, I'm leaving. So, anyhow, and the other point about Einstein actually, you know, emigrated legally to the United States, as did my grandparents on both sides. So that's the bottom line, my response to that. Now let's just move on here. Scott in San Diego, California. Hey, Scott, what's on your mind today?
Well, Tom, good morning. I'm curious. I make it a practice to support candidates I believe in because I'd rather have them coming to me and you and Betsy and Sally and John for money than IBM or 3M or DuPont. But I'm a little concerned in giving money to the candidates these days because I've recently read, even when I give to Francine Busby or Bernie or some others, when they have media consultants and these people are running their campaigns, they're paying about 20% commission to media consultants, to where if I give to the DCCC or the DNC, they only take 1.7% or I think as much as 2% in media consultancy fees. What should I do?
I don't know. I don't know, Scott. I know that the Republicans historically have paid their consultants flat fees, or they pay them by the hour. The Democrats historically have paid their consultants a percentage of their media buy, which, having run an ad agency, and one of our competitive advantages when we had the ad agency in Atlanta was we said to our clients, we don't charge a percentage of the media buy, we charge you for our work. And they were like, oh, that's great. You know, so we know that you're not going to hustle media on us just to make an extra buck. I mean, we actually were able to take away some major accounts. I'm talking, you know, Fortune 500 companies from big ad agencies because of that policy. And it just seems like, you know, the Democrats should be doing that. What they're doing in this election, I frankly don't know. And that would be a good question to put to Bernie next time.
Well, I see some ads from Francine Busby because I'm in the 50th in California and I follow her campaign closely. It's been a very interesting campaign, Tom. They started off labeling her liberal. Then after she responded with some of the nasty ads they'd run about her position in the school district, she corrected that, issued a fact statement. They came back with another nasty gram about her taxes and what she felt they could do, and she ran back and said he's a lobbyist. Now they're accusing her of running a negative campaign.
Yeah.
Now, to get right to the point, when I support her and I've seen her campaigns, I see some of the ads are from the DCCC, and other ads are not, but the ads that are from the DCCC has her saying that she supports it and everything.
Right.
Where is the split here? She's buying her own ads, they're buying ads for her?
I don't know, and I can't speak on her behalf, Scott, but I would encourage you to call her campaign and ask those questions, and then call us back and let us know.
Absolutely, Tom. I'm going to do that right away. Thank
Great.
You.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Good to hear from you. JC in Lincoln City, Oregon. Hey, JC.
Hi, how are you, Tom?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up?
Well, I was wondering, I was listening to the Randy Rhodes show, just caught a little bit, about the administration is going to do some experimental bomb testing June 2nd with a 700 megaton underground bomb.
Well, actually, the Western Shoshone, the Native American community that theoretically owns that land, on
right.
which the has sued them. And said, you can't do this because it's going to stir up all this radioactivity that's in the dust from previous nuclear tests here over the last 50 years and contaminate all of us. And so that's in the courts right now, so it's on hold.
Oh, thank God. I have a nephew who's going to, who's working in the mines down in northern Nevada, who is working to go to school.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, my God, he's 2,000 feet underground. What kind of shockwave? And what effect is it going to have off of us who live on the coast?
Yeah, well, it's, I think coming west, there's not so much of a concern. The big concern is going east because the prevailing winds are from west to east, and they're
right.
concerned that this explosion is going to kick up into the atmosphere a mushroom cloud of dust. And they're saying, well, it's not a nuclear explosion. No, it's not. They're doing it with conventional explosives to simulate what would happen if they dropped a small nuclear bomb on, for example, Iran. They want to know how deep it's going to go and all that kind of stuff. But still, it's going to pump all this dust up into the air that is the dust from the place where for 50 years we were testing nuclear bombs. And there's a lot of radioactive stuff that has, because it's heavier than most soil, has settled deeply into that soil. And a lot of people are very legitimately concerned about that. But right now it's on hold. It's in the courts. So,
thank you so much. And thank you for all you do.
Oh, sure enough. You're welcome. Thanks for calling, JC, and thanks for listening. Maria in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Maria.
Hi, Tom. Can't live without your program. Anyway, have you heard of Catherine Albrecht?
She wrote Spy Chips.
You got
it. In fact, she's been on this program twice.
Oh, great. Well, I'm on her newsletter route. Anyway, she reported yesterday that Verichip wants to put RFID chip implants into immigrant and guest workers, as reported on Fox News. She was interviewed on Rens.com a Tuesday, which I couldn't get. I don't have streaming.
See, this brings us back to this interview with Chris Matthews and Tom Ridge on Wednesday, where Tom Ridge says they'd like to come here and work and go back and forth across that border as Mexican citizens. And I'm saying, what's wrong with saying we ought to give those jobs to Americans? I mean, we have large chunks of America. We have, large urban areas and poor rural areas where there's rampant unemployment. It's causing terrible social dislocation. It's tearing apart an entire generation of people, particularly in the urban areas, particularly hard hit the African-American community. And if, the best anti-poverty program is a job. And if employers had to pay a decent wage, if we had a good, strong minimum wage in this country, and those jobs were available because they weren't being taken by illegal immigrants, I think it would just be a good thing for us. And give them RFID chips so that they can go back and forth across the border. We're going to have 100 million guest workers, and it's crazy. It's just crazy. Maria, thanks for turning me on to there for the information, letting us know about that. Paul in Turner's Falls, Massachusetts. Hey, Paul, we've got about a minute before we've got to take a break. What's up?
Okay, quick thing. First, I want to say I really appreciate Air America having you join their team, because every time I hear your theme music, I'm like a Pavlov's dog. I get really excited about the conversation.
That's great. Thank you.
The other thing is the conservative view of wanting less government. I keep getting this feeling that as we have less political or national government, we have more corporate government, and that the corporate government is multinational and is actually taking away the power that we have as a nation. As people of this nation, to kind of control our destiny.
Yes, I agree. What you're seeing is the emergence, not the emergence. You're seeing the naked control of a corporatocracy, an aristocracy. It's what used to be called oligarchy, which is control of a nation by a small number of families. It just replaced the word family with corporations, and we're back to oligarchy. And it's one of the oldest and frankly most stable forms of government that there is. In writ large, it's called feudalism. And that's the form of government that the conservatives are promoting and have been, frankly, for thousands of years. 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program, where reason is our lifestyle choice.
Days ends, and you can win a hot Chevy Uplander Entertainer with a 40-gig digital media system. Every night you stay is another chance to win, and you'll get almost $200 in discount coupons every time you stay. This summer, drive rewards at Days Ends. Visit DaysInn.com today. Days Inn, the best value under the sun. No purchase necessary. Legal residence 18 or older. Ends 8/31. Free entry details and full rules at DaysInn.com.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not JenJen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Tropical frogs are suffering as a warmer world helps the spread of a fatal fungus. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Researchers recently found that warmer temperatures are spreading an exotic fungus through rainforests in the mountains of Costa Rica, and they say the warm weather is bad news for frogs. The research was recently published in the journal Nature. Simon Stewart says it helps explain the disappearance of frogs throughout Central America. Stewart works with the World Conservation Union, and he recently completed a survey of amphibians around the world. He says amphibians easily absorb the fatal fungus through their skin, but it's only dangerous under certain circumstances.
The disease gets into the amphibian somehow, but it doesn't become pathological and fatal until certain environmental conditions are met.
The environmental conditions seem to include a warmer climate in Central America. It's increasing the rate of evaporation and creating dense clouds over the rainforest. The clouds block sunlight during the day but trap heat at night. Stewart says that turns the fungus into a killer.
This is what climate change appears to be driving, more cloud cover in mountains, so the days are cooler, but the nights are warmer. And that seems to be the perfect conditions for the spread of the fungus and for it to become pathogenic.
Outbreaks of the fungus have hit everywhere from Africa to Australia. The disease shows no signs of slowing down, and frogs are suffering. Right now, scientists are trying to save endangered frogs by breeding them in captivity. Stewart says these animals could be released back into the wild if and when the fungus is no longer a threat. Scientists are working on ways to fight the fungus in the wild, but Stewart says a better defense might involve selectively breeding frogs to make them resistant to the disease. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4290. 800-995-4290.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Caller's information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, my friends. 9 minutes before the hour. That's the final argument that is made by progressives about why we should just ignore illegal immigrants. And that is that it is the policies of the United States, things like NAFTA and our support of corn farmers in the United States, that is causing poverty in Mexico. I agree that that is one of the causes of poverty in Mexico, and we should change that policy. Period. End of discussion. Dave in Los Angeles. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
I'm great. What's up?
I just a cynical observation, kind of humorous to me, was that shows how much this is really about dollars going back into Mexico. Mm-hmm. Vicente Fox exporting his poverty so he doesn't have to take care of them.
That's what he's doing.
And in return, he gets greenbacks going into the U.S., or into Mexico, I mean.
Yeah.
When they were trying to define this policy up at the White House, all of a sudden, out of the blue, we hear about Vicente Fox signing a legalization of drugs.
Right, decriminalizing possession of small quantities of everything.
And to me, what he was there was an idle or a threat that if you criminalize my illegals in your country, I will in turn get those greenbacks off your rich kids.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, he ended up not signing that, you know.
Exactly.
After an hour-long conversation with George W. Bush.
Exactly, and because you know it would have been spring break in Tijuana, and it wouldn't have been our poor going down there.
Yeah, you're right. Good point, Dave.
Not that we know any rich Republicans that dabble in drugs.
No. We've never heard of Jeb Bush's daughter. Dave, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. Steve in Amarillo, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Tom. I would just want to make one point. I agree with you wholeheartedly about the undocumented workers or illegals or whatever you want to call them. I'm a union rep, and I've worked primarily the last 20 years in the South Central United States, and I've been around it all my life. And this whole thing's about money, and it always will be. I mean, there were Americans doing these jobs, but they were organizing in the unions. They were making good wages, had pensions and benefits.
Yep, I mean, look at the construction industry, for example, 20 years ago.
Absolutely, absolutely. And these companies found a way, these big businesses found a way to destroy that base, destroy that, the wages, the benefits, the pensions, and the way was to bring in undocumented workers who are scared to death to say a word or to organize because these companies will call INS themselves.
Yeah.
And so the wages have reduced. Pensions are about gone. Benefits, you know, are gone for most employees.
And here's the real tragedy, Steve, and maybe you can enlighten me about this as a union rep. The AFL-CIO in 2000 started saying, let's embrace illegal aliens, and SEIU and some of the Change to Win unions are all, you know, gung-ho, saying, oh, it's a new movement. Let's be part of it. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I see both sides because I understand where they're coming from. If we can get them into the system, you know, get them on some sort of a legalization program, however long it takes, 10, 15 years.
And have them be union members. Then the hope is that is going to give the union more power. But the unions don't realize that the largest part of their power doesn't come from the number of members they have. It comes from the number of members that they have relative to the total workforce and the total number of jobs out there.
I agree. And that's the catch. I mean, you know, their thought is if these undocumented workers become legal or get into the system and they now have a voice, they now are not afraid to be deported, they will organize, wages will come up through contract negotiations, benefits, the whole nine yards. That's their thought.
Yeah, I think they're going about it backwards. I understand that. You know, I really do.
It's a tough scenario for unions because, you know, if it stays the way it is, our contracts are going to continue to get degraded and our benefits and everything else. So, you know, what do you do?
Now you got Tom Ridge saying that what the administration wants to do is just have a permanent guest worker program where as many, you know, millions of people can come across the border, work here for 6 months, go back home, live there for a couple of years, come back here, you know, and during the next 6 months they're replaced by somebody else. So there's this continuous stream of cheap labor.
Yeah.
Yes, everybody might be unionized, but they're still going to be working for $5 an hour.
That's all money driven. It's all to keep the wages low and the benefits out of there.
Yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
It's all about.
Yep. Well said. Thanks a lot, Steve, for the call.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Mike in Mount Vernon, Illinois. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, great. I love your show. I post as Vegas Centillion as I can. And one thing I was thinking is I've been studying some statistics lately, and you got the three averages, mean, median, and mode. And always in the books, whenever I come across it, when it comes to like the income in the country, they always give you mean and median. They never say the mode. Even on TV, they
well, maybe that's because everybody's as dumb as I am. I don't know what mode is. We have about a minute here. Mike, educate me.
Mode is the one that occurs with the most occurring frequency. You know, mean is the one where you add up all the stuff and divide by how many people in there.
Right.
Median is the one that exists. It's the true midpoint of all the numbers. And the modal is the one that occurs with the most occurring frequency. And so, because they keep saying, it's like, oh, the average income for the area is like $40,000. And I'm like, I don't know anybody makes $40,000.
So with mode, you would be saying most people make $15,600.
Yeah, the guy in 1990, there's one professor in Utah who did it in 96. And he found that, yeah, back in 96, it was like $22,500 or something like that.
Wow.
But then when you break out statistics, though, you got the standard deviations, which is like the mean different marks on your graph.
Right, right.
70% of the people will be within one standard deviation of the 22. Yeah.
So the bottom line is, you know, it goes back to the old figures don't lie, but liars can figure.
I used to organize for SDIU, and they were saying that with the legalization, you could get them legal, and they would have to be at least paid minimum wage, and they'd be less afraid to speak up.
Right. Well, that's their hope, and I share that hope, and wouldn't it be great if that was the case? But the fact of the matter is that the price of labor is a function of how much labor there is versus how many jobs. It's David Ricardo wrote about this in 1814. This is not a secret. Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations, 1776. It's 57 minutes past the hour. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour. Tom Hartman here with you on the True People's Radio.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? Heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
This is Air America Radio. I'm Chris in Siabwadi. The Senate voted yesterday to approve an amendment to the pending immigration bill that declares English to be America's national language, though the measure was softened at the last minute by the inclusion of language that protects existing federal laws that mandate multilingual services. Critics point out that the amendment would still override any law or statute that wasn't ordered by an act of Congress. The amendment also requires that immigrants seeking citizenship be proficient in English and knowledgeable of American history. A Virginia judge has dismissed the lawsuit filed against the CIA by Khaled El-Masri, a German citizen who claims he was drugged and abducted by the agency in Macedonia in 2003 and transported to a secret prison in Afghanistan, where he was held and tortured for 5 months. German police had considered his story credible, but Judge T.S. Ellis sided with the U.S. government's contention that even considering the case's merits would risk jeopardizing national security. The House voted yesterday to approve a measure intended to do away with some of the $7 billion in royalty relief oil companies are due over the next 5 years. The measure would require the government to renegotiate more than 1,000 offshore drilling leases in the Gulf Coast region that were written more than a decade ago, well before the current gas shortages that have left the energy industry with soaring profits. The UN Committee Against Torture called on the US today to either release the prisoners held at the Guantanamo Bay prison camp or grant them a trial, as there are currently no safeguards in place for protecting prisoners' rights. This plea comes after four detainees attempted to kill themselves yesterday. There have now been at least 39 suicide attempts by prisoners at Guantanamo since 2002. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani defended his decision to appear yesterday at a fundraiser for former Christian Coalition leader Ralph Reed, who's running for lieutenant governor of Georgia. When asked how he was able to reconcile his support of gay unions and reproductive rights with Reed's far-right politics, Giuliani downplayed their differences, saying that Reed's election would be a, quote, great thing for the country. You're listening to Air America Radio News. My name is Chris Insiabwadi.
To save gas and increase performance, drive over to Strauss Discount Auto and save $2 on our entire stock of Purolator air filters. Strauss Discount Auto. We keep you driving.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 6.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Are we creating the new peasants under the new feudal lords, corporate monopolies? The United Nations reports that about two-thirds of all world trade is in the hands of transnational corporations who, quoting the United Nations, increasingly shape trade patterns of the planet. End quote. Sales of the 200 largest corporations in the world equals more than a quarter of the entire planet's GDP. 200 companies. The 82 largest American corporations contributed $33 million to political action committees just in the 2000 election cycle, outspending labor unions 15 to 1. In 94% of U.S. House of Representative races, the candidate who got the most corporate money won the race. In 1976, the richest 10% of America's population owned 50% of America's wealth. By 1997, the richest 10% of America's population owned 75% of all the wealth in the country. Or, looking at it from the other end of the telescope, you could say in 1976, the lower 90% of the population owned half the wealth. By 1997, the lower 90% of the population only owned 27% of the wealth. In 2000, the top 1% of American households had financial wealth greater than that of the bottom 95% combined. Bill Gates' wealth alone is greater than the bottom 45% of all American households combined. Is there something wrong with this picture? Robert Garmong is with us at the Ayn Rand Institute, writer and philosopher specializing in political theory and philosophy of law and an expert on the ideas of Ayn Rand, AYNRAND.org, the website. Robert, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Tom.
Robert, isn't there a point at which corporations eating up other corporations, eating up other corporations, becomes a toxic thing for society?
No, Tom, I don't think it is, in essence at least. And, of course, a particular merger or a particular acquisition may be badly planned. It may be not an economically good idea. But in general and in principle, I don't see anything wrong with the idea of two companies getting together for greater efficiency and greater marketing power.
What about 200 or 300 companies becoming one?
In principle, if it's economically viable, then there's nothing absolutely wrong with that, and it's that any more than there's anything wrong with the company spinning off a division. I think that what should guide the marketplace is how to best produce and most efficiently sell product, and if that means two companies getting together, I don't see anything inherently wrong with it.
But the goal of a company is not to best produce and most efficiently deliver a product, it's to make a profit.
That's
and,
right.
And in many cases, that means, particularly if you control the market, that may not mean the best product. I don't think that Microsoft is the best operating system out there, for example, but they control the market. It's not to pick on Microsoft, but I mean, here's a better example, perhaps. The Interpress Service reports that the world is now eating more food than farmers grow. This, for the first time in history, global grain stocks are the lowest point in 30 years. 30 years ago, the oceans were teeming with fish, but today more people rely on farmers for their food. In five of the last 6 years, global population ate more grain than farmers produced, or would have eaten more grain than farmers produced had it been possible. Unlike the Green Revolution in the 60s, when improved strains of wheat, rice, maize, and other cereals dramatically boosted global food production, there's no magical bullets. And then they get down to saying, why is this? And here's the sentence. Most North American agribiz corporations posted record profits in 2004. With only five major companies now controlling the entire planet's grain market, there is a massive imbalance of power. The food production system is designed to generate profits, not to produce food or nutrition for people.
Well, Tom, if you can produce more and sell more than you will, and I think that markets do tend to equilibrate, and obviously at certain points you can have an oversupply or an undersupply of a particular good. And by the way, I'm not a fan of Microsoft either, but I do have to say that they efficiently marketed, whereas Apple, for instance, in earlier days simply did not. And so I'm not going to say that somehow magically the best product will automatically win, but I do believe that in principle, efficiency is what wins the day, and the more efficient a company can be, the better it will do. But when you control, when you are so large
that you control the marketplace, OPEC, for example, you know, they're so large that they control the marketplace. It has nothing to do with how efficiently they produce oil. In fact, when you control the marketplace, you actually have an incentive, if profit is not only your goal, but your legally mandated goal, as is the case in the United States. If you control the marketplace, then you actually have an incentive to reduce efficiencies or at least reduce production so that you can drive up prices. You have companies in the United States, for example, have shut down 30 refineries in the last 10 years.
You're talking about two different kinds of animals, though, when you're talking about OPEC versus you're talking about a private corporation. OPEC is, by definition, an association of countries, and these are, by and large, socialistic countries where the oil industry is not private. It's owned by the Sultan, and therefore it is often the case that governmental entities have different sorts of incentives because they can shut down any potential competitors, whereas Microsoft cannot shut Apple down as long as Apple continues to sell a product that people like me prefer.
But Microsoft controls enough of the market right now that if they decide to raise the price of their operating system by $20 or $30, people are still going to buy it.
Sure, people are, but they're also going to, at that same time, provide incentive for new people to come in and more people to switch to Apple or to Linux and so on. And that, in fact, is what we've seen. We've seen more and more operating systems, versions of Linux mostly, coming out, and many companies are switching. And I think Microsoft itself, if you ask them, feels a continual pull of competition. Bill Gates makes no bones about the fact that his company could be dead within a few years if they don't continue to keep up.
Yeah, well, I'm not asserting that Microsoft is an absolute monopoly, and it's probably a bad example. I think probably the oil companies in the United States are a better example. We have four oil companies, basically, where we had 20 of them 15, 20 years ago. We have four oil companies that control the majority of the oil sold in the United States, the majority of the gasoline sold in the United States. Last year, George Bush goes to them, and he says, I'll give you guys an Air Force base in California, and I'll waive all the environmental regulations if you'll just build a refinery, because I said earlier it was 30. According to Pete DeFazio, Congressman Peter DeFazio of Oregon, it's 50. In the last 10 years, the last 10 years, 50 refineries have been shut down by these guys. And Bush is saying, please build a refinery. We need to reduce the price of gasoline. And they're like, no.
That's right. And note that oil is one of the most regulated industries in our country. And you simply can't deal with the fact that you never know who's going to come into power next and who's going to want more and more controls on what they're doing. And so that refinery that you build today at tremendous expense may 10, 15, 20 years from now turn into a boondoggle, and you're at the whim of the politicians.
What happens, Robert Garmung, when there's only one company that owns a market? What happens when there's only one media company? And we're down to five now. I mean, it's basically five companies that control most of our media. And, you know, they all have very, very clear and very specific political agendas. And they don't make any bones about advancing them, apparently. I mean, what happens when you get down to one company?
Well, I don't think that's really a feasible option, although who am I to say what the market will do. But I don't think that in principle there would be anything wrong with that if and to the extent that people still are free to go to competitors. I mean, what happens? You asked a direct question. What happens? What happens is this show. What happens is people like me writing and publishing on the web and elsewhere. What happens is the internet explosion. People find a way, if they don't like or don't approve of the product that they're getting from the mainstream media, they find a way to get a different and better product.
But, you know, to use, for example, Liberal Talk Radio as an example, about 80-85% of all the radio stations that carry Air America programming are owned by one company, Clear Channel.
And so clearly they're and Clear Channel is never known to be a bastion of liberalism, from what I understand. They're owned by fairly conservative people, run by fairly conservative people. And yet, because the market demands that Air America be out there, guess what? There's a profit in their putting that on. So I don't think that who owns the media necessarily determines what content gets out there. What determines that ultimately is what the consumer expects and demands and wants.
But over time, if we were to end up with just and just a here to tip my hat to Clear Channel, I have to say they don't try to interfere in the programming, but the point is that they're still in a relatively competitive marketplace. What if it was just one company? I mean, we could end up there.
Tom, I don't think that would be any problem because the consumer is always going to demand quality for their purposes.
And that one company can say to the consumer, hey, take a leap, as the health insurance companies are saying to people right now.
There's always an option to compete. There's always an option to compete until and unless the government comes in and tells you you cannot.
Okay, Robert Garmong, Ayn Rand, AYNRAND.org. Thanks, Robert, for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
16 minutes past the hour.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Talk about unsanitary. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. Imagine vacuuming your house wearing a dust mask? Friends, try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL free for 30 days. It's 99.99% dust-free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
If your sinus congestion comes with pain, it's time to clear something up about sinus medicine. Some sinus medicines treat congestion, but not pain. New Tylenol Sinus is different. It gives more complete relief by combining the pure pain relief of Tylenol with powerful sinus medicine. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Sinus. Take only as directed.
When corporations give money to the lawmakers who do legislative favors for them, some hotheads are quick to label such transactions as bribery. But that's such an ugly term. Members of Congress prefer to use a kinder and gentler phrase, constituent services. Take Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton, for example. She's recently been of tremendous service to the Corning Corporation, which is a bit odd since Corning has always been a solidly Republican bastion. In recent years, however, the upstate New York manufacturing giant has put $137,000 into Hillary's campaign coffers, becoming her second largest donor. This political switch is not coincidental. It's business. Clinton, you see, has gone out of her way to become Corning's leading champion in Washington, using her substantial influence to do favors that give a big boost to the corporation's bottom line. In 2004, for example, the Chinese government imposed a tariff on Corning's fiber optic products, charging the company with illegally undercutting the prices of Chinese firms. Corning ran to Hillary for protection, and she promptly launched a personal push. She upbraided China's top trade official, summoned the Chinese ambassador to her office, and even collared George W. to get him personally involved, finally compelling the Chinese to drop the tariff. 1 month after she began providing this service, Corning's chairman held a fundraiser in his home, quietly sacking up $46,000 for Hillary's re-election campaign. When you are down and somebody gives you a hand, explained Corning's top lobbyist, you have to remember that. This is Jim Hightower saying, they can call such scratch-my-backism constituent services, but again and again in Washington, it's the backs of big corporate donors that get scratched by both parties. This is why we need public financing of elections, thus eliminating the need to do favors in exchange for corporate campaign money.
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder, millions of jobs are being exported, and now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
When my creditors are screaming for their dough, I'll be proud to tell them all where they can go. They won't have to scream and holler. They'll be paid to the last dollar, where the endless streams of money seem to flow. I'll be glad to tell them all what they can do. It's a matter of a simple form or two. It's not just remuneration, it's a liberal education. Ain't you kinda glad that I'm in debt to you? 'Cause I'm changing my name to Chrysler. I'm going down to Washington, D.C. I will tell some power broker what they did. I have broker will be perfectly acceptable to me.
Just change your name to Chrysler and get a bailout. Welcome back, my friends. 22 minutes past the hour. No, Joe Biden made sure you can't do that. The bankruptcy bill. Oh, man. Welcome back. Just an update on what's going on in Iraq today.
All right, Republicans, line up for duty.
It's time. Time for our chicken hawk alert here.
Chicken hawk. Chicken hawk.
Looking at what the non-chicken hawk, what the real folks who actually are serving are doing.
Carl Rove, he didn't serve. Dick Cheney, he didn't serve. Tom DeLay, he didn't serve. And George Bush was AWOL.
Yes, near Kirkuk, the corpse of an unidentified man with gunshot wounds and bearing signs of torture was found 6 miles from the northern town of Kirkuk. In Baghdad, Police Lieutenant Colonel Kalara Abdul Zahara escaped death when a roadside bomb exploded near his home in the eastern New Baghdad district. Police said 5 members of his family were wounded. When police arrived at the scene, a second bomb went off without causing further injuries. In Baghdad, 3 policemen were wounded when their patrol was struck by a roadside bomb in western Baghdad, according to police. In Kirkuk, Mohammed Al Ikabi, an employee of the Northern State Oil Company, was gunned down on Thursday night. And in political developments, Iraqi leaders are closing in on a deal to form a national unity government, but negotiators said a host of names are still being discussed for key posts. So the debate is still on, as they say. In 1983, by the way, just to wrap up our conversation from the last segment, I agree with Teddy Roosevelt that it's all about power, and the power ultimately should be with we the people. And there is a certain point where corporations become so powerful, so large, that they have the ability not just to control markets, but to control government as well. And certainly to control public opinion, to form and shape public opinion. And this is not a healthy thing. I mean, there's no other way to say it beyond that. This is just not a healthy thing. And you talk about the new media monopoly. I mean, this is all these mergers of the internet companies now pulling together, and then they want to do away with net neutrality. By the way, savetheinternet.com, worth checking out. In 1983, this is from the corporations.org, in 1983, 50 corporations controlled the vast majority of all news media in the United States. And Ben Magdikian wrote a book saying, hey, isn't this 50 corporations controlling virtually all of our news in the United States? Isn't that a problem? People said he was an alarmist. By 1992, 9 years later, his fourth edition of his book, The Media Monopoly, came out. He said, in the U.S., fewer than 24 of these extraordinary creatures, corporations, own and operate 90% of the mass media. By 2000, 90% of all the media in the United States was owned by 6 companies. Today, it's 5 companies. So this in the new revised and expanded book, The Media Monopoly. So, this is an issue that I think should be concerning folks. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Matthew in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Matthew, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Thanks for putting a Randroid on. You remind me why most philosophers don't take Ayn Rand seriously.
The problem is that the large swaths of the Republican Party and a good chunk of the Democratic Party, certainly the DLC part of the Democratic Party, do take those kinds of ideas seriously.
Well, there's one main objection to Randism, and that is that the good is rarely profitable. And if your good is the profit, there will be no happiness in your society.
Well said.
But My point was that, or what I wanted to disagree with you is, quite a bit ago you said that you do not wish to see your labor unions and your worker protections, dissolve, and you proposed as a solution to remove immigration. I don't believe that.
No, not the solution.
I'm sorry, to remove illegal aliens.
No, and that's really one small piece of it. The larger piece of it is to do away with our trade agreements, but.
Well, my point is that just simply removing those means will not undo what is eroding our labor protections. What is eroding our labor protections is rather the economic movement right now. The economic movement we have right now is a reaction to 40, 50, 60 years of the Rooseveltian economic policies, the quasi-socialist New Deal that came out of the Great Depression. The only
which created the strongest economy this country or the world had ever seen, Matthew.
I do agree with you, sir.
And ever since Reagan started taking it apart, it's been falling apart. I mean,
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
That's been going on since 1980.
And indeed they are. And after so many years of corporate, of being under the firm hand of the government, corporations have reacted firmly.
Matthew, we got to take a break here. Hang on here, and we'll continue this on the other side of the break. It's 27 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program. The True People's Radio.
I'm here with Sandy from GSK. Sandy, what can anyone do about so many people slipping through the cracks of the health insurance system?
We fill the gaps.
And how do you do that?
Well, I run programs that provide over $1 million worth of medicines to folks in need every day.
What kind of people in need?
Like people who lost everything because of Hurricane Katrina. People who can't pay for the medicines they need now.
That sounds like a huge job.
I think it's the best job in the company.
GSK, finding a way forward, one day at a time.
This is Vivilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean. This is my story.
When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees.
I started using Aleve.
You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell. The immigration debate continues to blaze with a new fire igniting between President George W. Bush and Wisconsin Representative F. James Sensenbrenner. The Republican congressman has come under fire from immigration rights groups for drafting a bill that would classify illegal immigrants as felons. Sensenbrenner criticized the president on Wednesday, saying it was the White House that requested the two controversial felony provisions in the immigration bill. But Sensenbrenner says it now appears that the president is turning his back on the bill. Sensenbrenner said that Bush's call for allowing many of the 12 million illegal immigrants in this country eventually become citizens is really just amnesty for individuals who have broken the law.
Mesaba Airlines has failed in an effort to destroy its union contracts in court. Bankruptcy Judge Gregory Kishel Thursday rejected the move by the airline. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, says its members will continue to fight for a fair and equitable contract. Had those union contracts been thrown out, The airline would have faced a strike by some or all of its unions.
Steelworkers are prepared to strike if talks with Alcoa break down. The workers' contracts expired on May 31st, and negotiations are set to begin on Thursday. Union members at 15 plants authorized leadership to call a walkout against the world's biggest aluminum producer if contract negotiations break down. While both sides have expressed that they have an open dialogue and see little chafing on most contract issues, health care and retiree benefits could cause some friction at the bargaining table.
Madison Gas and Electric, a public power utility in Wisconsin's capital, is out to destroy its workers' defined benefit pensions. Dave Poklin-Kusky of IBEW Local 2304 says this is a highly profitable power company with no financial justification for trying to take workers' pensions.
I think everybody needs to recognize that if workers working for a state-regulated monopoly with a well-funded defined benefit pension plan are not going to be able to retain a pension plan, then everybody's pension is at stake.
Poklin-Kusky says that defined benefit pensions are much better for workers than 401ks, and his union, IBEW Local 2304, will never agree to end defined benefit pensions. Here's today's economic report. There were 367,000 new claims for unemployment benefits the week ending May 13th, the highest number since October of 2005. While more workers are needing to file for jobless benefits, inflation is also getting higher, putting even more pressure on family income. Things are harder for working families despite economic growth in the first quarter at an annual pace of 4.8%. Meanwhile, the number of new jobs added in April was 138,000, the lowest jobs growth since October. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Walk that walk. Talk that talk. Walk that walk.
And here's a story that'll fry your shorts. AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South gave George Bush, these are the three companies that are accused of having participated with the NSA in this apparently illegal program of compiling and data mining your and my telephone records. AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South gave over $500,000. $511,955, over $500,000 in campaign contributions to, guess who? George W. Bush. Yeah. Anyhow, Matthew in Nashville, Tennessee, I'm trying to understand the point that you're making. Take another shot at it.
Let me get to my ad hoc thesis that I'm coming up as I'm driving around. The current, where we are right now is a result of history, of course. Look at it this way. Rooseveltian policies made us the richest nation in the world, correct?
I would argue that, yeah.
Okay, I agree with you. Now, after we've made everyone wealthy, the natural consequence of this is a corporate ascendancy. Now, with a corporate ascendancy, because people are rich. If people become independently wealthy, corporations will ascend.
But people are not rich, Matthew. I mean, what we had in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, and arguably through the mid 80s until Reagan really, really started taking it apart, was we had a strong middle class.
Yeah.
And that's not rich. That's just middle class.
When I say people, I do not mean that the majority is rich. This is certainly not the case, and this is obvious.
Right, and we had rules in place that prevented corporations from aggregating so large that they could threaten that kind of middle class and that kind of democracy. And in fact, Jimmy Carter, you know, busted up AT&T. We had antitrust. We still have antitrust rules on the books. It's just that starting with Reagan, every administration since Reagan's administration has chosen not to enforce them.
Indeed, correct, Tom. But what I'm trying to say is that simply that with the movement, with the conservative economic movement that we have seen right now, and it is clearly occurred, the corporations will continue to drive for their own profit because they're selfish, essentially.
Sure. They're supposed to be, yeah, unless we the people do something about it, unless we the people say, okay, the rules of the game are that you can get to this size in the marketplace, but you can't be beyond that. You can't monopolize a marketplace.
What the problem is, Tom, is that we the people have been mostly complacent in this problem, and I feel that the only way that this will ever reverse itself would be another liberal renaissance, which is like the same thing that came out of the Depression.
Yeah.
And I feel that what will have to happen is that things will have to get very bad before things get better.
Well, history demonstrates that your sense of this, Matthew, is probably accurate. My hope is that we can do it without that, or alternatively, that we can say, okay, it's already bad enough. You know, it's like, it's not the Great Depression, but it's pretty bad. And we need to wake up from this. It's time to do it. And,
well, may you be correct, Tom.
Yeah, let us hope so.
I can only hope.
Let us hope so. Matthew, thanks for the call.
No problem.
Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. Matt in El Dorado, California. Hey, Matt, what's on your mind?
Hi. I love the callers on this show. I mean, you're good, but they're great.
I agree. We have some of the smartest people on the planet listening to this program.
Anyway,
so I'm really impressed.
Anyway, so I wanted to make a point that we can solve a problem real quick on immigration. They keep saying, well, Americans won't do the jobs, correct?
Well, actually, in the last 2 days, Bush has stopped saying the jobs Americans won't do and has started saying the jobs Americans aren't doing. It's a very subtle but very significant change.
Either way, you know, and then find what they're like. You know, if he's going to say that, it doesn't change anything. He lies anyway.
Yeah.
So here's the point. They're saying that, and most people understand it as that the people out there working on the farms, you know, backbreaking.
in Japan. He grew up in...
degree that has spoken the truth, speak the truth, is
with regard to what issue?
On immigration.
Okay.
Jeff Sessions, a Republican from Alabama, I think he's a judge or a former judge or something. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into all his other politics, but on this particular issue, he was very clear, very thorough, and he has study after study after study. And he cited that we should have an open debate with the people of the United States. We shouldn't shove this stuff through with the people that are affected deserve a right to participate in this debate. And he showed study after study after study that in 20, 30 year studies by professors that are very knowledgeable, PhDs, that these unskilled workers are an absolute net drain to the Treasury of the United States. It hurts us more than if they would have been a higher skill level.
But you have to keep in mind, Armin, the majority of members of the Senate, certainly the Republican majority, a good chunk of it, and the majority of that, and a significant but not insignificant minority of the Democrats, don't care what the effect is on the U.S. Treasury. They care what the effect is on corporate profits, because that's who's lining their pockets.
That's the problem. That's why Jim Hightower's right, and I've been preaching it for 20 years myself, and my father, God bless his soul, was probably the conservative of conservative Republicans, and he said we needed public financing. Look, we're never going to move legitimately, Tom, forward as a group, a human race on this earth, until we deal with reality and the truth. It has to be based on truth, not payoffs and corruptions, until we have theories proven or failed in practice by a level playing field of electing people. We're never going to actually be an honest, progressive human race on this planet. We're just going to constantly be dislocations, coercion, under the table, deception, distortion, just all these things that confuse it and confuse it like a circus. And then every once in a while they throw a little bread at the people and then it takes their attention off of it. So, I mean, the fact is that we have to have public financing. We have to have a system and a culture based on ideology and application and proven theory, not all this deceptive, distorted lies and cheaters and all these
bread
circuses.
I got it. Well said. Well said.
Can I say one other thing?
Yeah.
I don't mean to offend you, but I have to stand and say that I disagree with you on the fence, and I also disagree, Tom. With
well, let's just talk about that for a second, Armin. I'm saying that there's no need for a fence. You're saying that there is. Okay, why do you disagree?
Well, because we have walls around prisons so that if they get out of their cell, they don't hurt society.
But see, I don't view Mexico as a prison.
wait a minute, but I want to protect our country from Al-Qaeda walking in, or God knows who else can just walk in.
But Armin, those guys who took down the two towers came in with visas. They came in legally.
They were part of the Bush crime family. I understand that. But there's a lot of other people that are doing things that have the potential to hurt you and me and cost us egregious economic problems and social problems that can just come right in. My God, they had the cameras on that border the other night. They had Anderson Cooper. And while he was talking, they're sliding under it. I don't know who those people are. Listen, Tom,
they're coming to work. They're coming to work, Armin. I'm telling you, Armin, it's...
Listen,
you say there's no other country with an unprotected border? Europe is full of countries with unprotected borders. China has an unprotected border that makes our border look like nothing. It's got 4,000 miles of unprotected border. Russia probably has 10,000 miles of unprotected border.
I don't want to live like China.
No, my point is that the only countries that in my lifetime that had really heavily protected borders, the only country that I know of was East Germany, and I lived on that border. I spent half, not
what
half,
side?
I on the West German side, I spent...
And you liked
chunk.
It, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You didn't want to live on the West?
No, here's my point, Armin. Here's my point. The only way that you can actually prevent people from moving, and the East Germans actually were successful in doing this, the only way that you can prevent people from moving across a border is to have they had two fences that were like 20 feet tall with barbed wire on the top separating, and between them there was about 20 feet of sand so that they could watch for footprints. And then on the far side, on the West German side actually, although it was still East Germany because they built the fence 50 foot back into their own territory, they had a minefield. And in the spring and fall, when the ground thawed and froze, those mines would go off and explode. And then they had every 200 or 300 yards a guard tower, where they had guys up there with submachine guns. That's the only kind of border that actually stops people from moving.
Well,
the bottom line is, Armin, let me finish this point. The bottom line is that if somebody wants to harm this country, if there's some significant money to be made, they will figure out a way to get into here, and 99% of the time they're going to do it completely legally. They will get a visa, they will get a passport, they'll get a phony passport, they will come across a legal border, and building a fence is not going to stop anybody who wants to hurt us. All it's going to do is stop the people who are trying to get in here to work.
I disagree. A border and a fence can stop the magnitude of the degree of disruption and destruction.
Nonsense.
That's possible.
Nonsense. Yeah. You know, one guy, you know.
Why do you lock your car? Do you lock your car when you're in metro traffic?
19 guys with box
cutters.
We're not talking about my car or my house. We're talking about the
protection.
Country. 19 guys with box cutters brought down those.
You know that was an inside job. Don't try to tell me that that's the normal.
Well, let's just say for a moment, Armin, that it's possible that 19 guys with box cutters could have done it. Let's just say for a minute, Armin, that it's possible that 19 guys with box cutters could have done it, and that it's possible that they could have come into the United States legally. We don't need a border to stop them. Or let me rephrase that. A border wouldn't have stopped them. A border would only... Well, it's only going to stop some guy who's looking for an $8 an hour job.
No, I disagree, and you know I'm right. And
no, I know you're wrong.
No,
I'm telling you, I
am right. You lock your house, you lock your car, you have to have borders. That's just the way it works. You can't have a free and open society the way that you imagine until we go to the system that I'm talking about, public financing, and run out about three or four generations and work things out.
Okay, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that one, Armin. It's a good conversation. I appreciate it. 45 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Orrick XL risk-free for 30 days.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Did you know that some ants actually prefer living in your home? That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. It stops ants cold on the outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, right down to the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
Tropical frogs are suffering as a warmer world helps the spread of a fatal fungus. I'm Richard Hooks for Earthwatch Radio. Researchers recently found that warmer temperatures are spreading an exotic fungus through rainforests in the mountains of Costa Rica, and they say the warm weather is bad news for frogs. The research was recently published in the journal Nature. Simon Stewart says it helps explain the disappearance of frogs throughout Central America. Stewart works with the World Conservation Union, and he recently completed a survey of amphibians around the world. He says amphibians easily absorb the fatal fungus through their skin, but it's only dangerous under certain circumstances.
The disease gets into the amphibians somehow, but it doesn't become pathological and fatal until certain environmental conditions are met.
The environmental conditions seem to include a warmer climate in Central America. It's increasing the rate of evaporation and creating dense clouds over the rainforest. The clouds block sunlight during the day but trap heat at night. Stewart says that turns the fungus into a killer.
This is what climate change appears to be driving: more cloud cover in mountains, so the days are cooler, but the nights are warmer. And that seems to be the perfect conditions for the spread of the fungus and for it to become pathogenic.
Outbreaks of the fungus have hit everywhere from Africa to Australia. The disease shows no signs of slowing down, and frogs are suffering. Right now, scientists are trying to save endangered frogs by breeding them in captivity. Stewart says these animals could be released back into the wild if and when the fungus is no longer a threat. Scientists are working on ways to fight the fungus in the wild, but Stewart says a better defense might involve selectively breeding frogs to make them resistant to the disease. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You be the judge. New FlexoFactor helps promote joint strength, flexibility, lubrication, range of motion, and even the renewal of cartilage, from your hands and knees to your hips and elbows. And we'll prove it by letting you try it free. A $30 bottle, free. FlexoFactor is a new all-natural joint support supplement that combines five specific joint-supporting ingredients in one exclusive formula. FlexoFactor helps cushion, lubricate, and strengthen joints and cartilage over time. It's perfect for seniors, weekend athletes, anyone who depends on healthy joints for an active lifestyle. But don't take our word for it. You be the judge. Call now and try a free bottle of FlexoFactor, a $30 value. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover shipping and handling. FlexoFactor. We know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Call 1-800-364-9974. That's 1-800-364-9974. Limit one bottle per household. Call 1-800-364-9974.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you 9 minutes before, 9.5 minutes before the hour. You know, there are some things that we really can't practically do, and therefore we shouldn't. You know, it's just, for example, building a fence across the southern border of the United States. You could build it. And, in fact, here, Accenture is looking at lining up a $10 billion contract for what's called U.S. Visit. That's to keep track of immigrants who are coming into the United States, people who are coming into the United States. And this is the point that I made earlier at Chris Matthews' show on Wednesday. You got Tom Ridge saying, he says, I think this notion that everybody who comes into this country wants to be an American citizen, that may be just a little over the top. He said they'd like to come here and work and go back and forth across the border as Mexican citizens. So Accenture gets a $10 billion contract to what, put chips in them or something like that? Or we come up with some super, super duper kind of tamper-proof passport for them. This is silly. And building a fence is silly. Now, conservatives will say, by the way, that it's also impossible for employers to know whether a worker is really who they say they are or not, and you know, undocumented workers and all that kind of thing. But AMC Theaters is proving them wrong. They're doing this program, this pilot program, with the Social Security Administration, where they supply Social Security numbers and the information that people who have applied for jobs with them or who are working for them provide them. And Social Security Administration says, yeah, that's really that person, or no, it's not. And this could be done by telephone. You know, call up the Social Security Administration, dial in the person's Social Security number. And then it could say, okay, now please dial in their date of birth. Dial it in. Please date in, you know, dial in their zip code. You dial it in. You know, to the best of our knowledge, this person is not that person or whatever. I mean, there's ways to please dial in, you know, if it's your code number so that we know that this isn't an attempted identity fraud. If we criminalize the employment of people, of illegal aliens, they will stop coming. And the ones here, many of the ones here, will simply leave. 1-866-440-8466, our number. Bob in Vermont. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tom. Sorry, second call in a day, but I'm back on my corporatization thing. This is the fence thing is a ruse. It's not about protection. It's about the corporate need for cheap labor. You know from your own experience that the largest Muslim population in North America is centered around Montreal. It's across a border that has proportionally less agents per mile than Mexico ever dreamed of. So yes. If we're into homeland security, protecting ourselves from another invasion by Al-Qaeda, the fence builders should be heading north right now, not south.
Yeah, good point, Bob. Thank you very much. Yeah, and when I lived in Vermont, I mean, you know, you go up there and you go up to Newport, you know, get on the lake. I mean, there are some places where that border is being observed, but mostly it's by people who are looking for drug smugglers.
Well, when you come across the border in a boat, you have an excellent example there. Your obligation is to find the Border Patrol station.
And say, hi, I'm
here.
They
don't come out to get you.
Same thing. And if you go to Derby Line, you know, and you know, there's the border right there in the middle of the city. In fact, I gave a talk in the library in Derby Line, Vermont, and half of the library, half of the room in which I gave the talk was in the U.S. and half of the room was in Canada.
You can go for.
And I'm standing there going, I think we just lost you, Bob, and I'm standing there going back and forth between the U.S. and Canada as I'm giving my speech. It's Steve in Albany. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Tom. And I just wanted to follow up on one of the previous callers. You had talked about the German border between East and West Germany, and that really, I think, it was more of an example of why we need to change the laws, as you've been saying, or not even change the laws, just enforce the laws against the employers. That border between East and West Germany was to keep the people in East Germany.
Yeah, although when you go to East Germany, if you raise the issue, everybody says, oh, no, that's to keep the West Germans out. That was the official story that was peddled
to
East Germany.
That was the official story,
why they, and which is causing some people, and oddly enough, mostly conservatives right now. I mean, this is like the thing that the gun freaks and the Minutemen folk are talking about. They're saying that the reason that Bush wants to build a fence is because he's planning on turning this country into a totalitarian state and he wants to keep us in. I mean, that's you want to get into the real paranoid stuff. There, people saying, oh, this is the same way that the East Germans were sold their fence. They actually helped build it, you know?
I would tend to agree with that.
I know. It's like at what point do you say, oh, well, you know, you're not really paranoid if they're really out to get you. Steve, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Marty in Sacramento, California. Hey, Marty.
Hi, Tom. You called earlier. You were mentioning on the air earlier looking for opponents to Richard Pombo.
Yeah, I got three-quarters of the way into that story and realized I should have done one more step in the research.
Oh, well,
I suspect you've done it for me.
I got to three.
He has three Democrats running against him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
We haven't had the primary yet.
Oh, okay. It's in June. All right.
Yeah.
Is there a strong one there?
Well, the one that's gotten the endorsement of the Democratic Party, I mean, I'm a nonpartisan, so I don't follow it. I had to Google him. His name is Jerry McNerney.
Okay.
Which is JERRYMCNERNEY.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's his website. And then there's Steve Thomas and Steve Filson. FilsonForCongress.com and Steve Thomas for Congress.com.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll Google those also. We'll check them out and we'll get at least one of them on the, you know, whoever in all probability is going to be the Democratic nominee to go up against Pombo. And we want to give that person some publicity. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah,
Marty, thank you very much for the information.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. I just want to get back to this thing about the fence, just to wrap this thing up. This from the Wall Street Journal. The fence companies are gearing up to compete for a multi-billion-dollar contract they hope will unlock the elusive Homeland Security market. What does it have to do with the fence? It's all about the money, my friends. It's all about the money, whether it's cheap labor or whether it's another billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar boondoggle for Halliburton and Bechtel in the defense industry. Coming up on the Monday Tom Hartman program, conservative and Minuteman Al Garza will be here. He's saying the Minutemen are going to continue to stand their posts. I'll be asking if he's promoting hate groups and missing the big picture. Have a great weekend, my friends. And remember, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. See ya.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? To heck with that. Don't limit yourself.